This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Now, here you happen to have a story about one of those banks, Wells Fargo, one of the largest banks in the United States. And apparently, at least one branch is severely limiting cash withdrawals. And there's also a limit maybe company-wide on ATM withdrawals. Mm-hmm. Well, we can talk about that coming up here in a moment. But let's go first to Kev. He's calling us from Florida. Kev, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I like listening to your show.
Welcome, Kev.
Wish we had a lot of time to go into a lot of stuff, but the Jubilee comment that you guys were talking about before, it's actually not a Roman tradition. It's an actual Old Testament tradition. Mm-hmm. I'm half Hebrew, half Irish, and a part Swedish, and it's a process of forgiveness. If you go back to the Old Testament, it's the story of Ruth and Naomi, and there was a redeemer in there. It has to do with a family that's been on a farm for like generations and they didn't have a good crop or something. They would be able to go and get a loan to take care of their expenses. And if the land happened to be part of the loan, after 49 years, if they hadn't paid it back, all the debts were forgiven. It had something to do with a Solomonic tradition, or maybe it was King Saul. I forget which. It's been a couple of decades since I read it, but it's in there. And that's where the Jubilee concept came from, because, you know, like, for example, in the story of Ruth and Naomi, they didn't have any male relatives because of some war or something that had happened. So they had no way to get their farm back. Mm-hmm. So they were working for somebody else's farm and, you know, subsistence living. And then there was a relative or something, I forget the guy's name, Japheth or something like that, who came back from a war and was like this second or third cousin, and he could redeem their land, not only because he was the male family member, but he could also, you know, take care of a loan. I think it had something to do with his military service or something, but that's where Jubilee came from. It's an old Hebrew tradition.
Hmm. Yeah, I know it's older than Roman times. And
yeah, it's 2,000 or 3,000 years old at least.
Yeah, I probably misspoke. You know, when I mentioned
the
Rome.
You guys got
currency,
so much stuff running around in your head trying to deal with all the stuff you're talking about. You know, I know what it's like. I got 25-30 years of research running around inside of my head.
Oh, nice. So I remember when I first heard the concept of Jubilee regarding like financial forgiveness, other than like somebody referring
to correct.
Other than somebody referring to like, hey, we're having a party, it'll be a Jubilee.
Yeah. You
know, the first time I heard it was the guy's name was David Graeber. He's dead now, and he's a self-professed anarchist, although he came from the left, so He's the guy who was credited with...
Anarchy is not a bad thing as long as it has the purpose of, you know, not letting governments destroy people behind it.
Right.
Once you get too far into it, it gets to be chaotic.
So anyway, David Graeber wrote a book called Debt the First 5,000 Years or something like that. Was the title of his book, and
that's pretty neat. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, he gave a variety of lectures, and one of them made it my way via YouTube. Of course, it's lengthy. I think it's almost 3 hours long. But he gave a lecture based on his book, and that was the first time I was introduced to the concept of Jubilee. And he goes into a lot of the things you're saying about how ancient it is and how societies over the course of time have adopted this Jubilee from time to time when it was necessary for states to do so.
Hmm. And you're correct in that it didn't exist with fiat, because the fiat is, you know, throttle control, you know, I mean throttle as in choking somebody, not throttle as in speed, by a bunch of those who have the I don't really want to say power, but the resources that others don't have anymore, and they can force them to do whatever they want. Whereas the Jubilee concept was land-based, because back then
property-based,
didn't really have loans from a bank. I mean, you grew your crop, you fed your family, you had your herds, or you were a craftsman, you know, you made, you know, carts or whatever it might be that people needed. Like, like the older gentleman spoke about earlier, when you had the skills that people needed, like you guys talk about, value for services, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why the Jubilee was so, it was part of the, not civil, but what's the other term for like church type stuff? You got civil.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Ecclesiastic.
Yes, ecclesiastic. Yeah. It was ecclesiastic law. And that's one of the things that the
Middle English
from the 900s, Old Testament law.
Wait, bear with me. Hear me out for just a second. What you're saying is that, that it's possible for one person with, you know, some means who, you know, maybe has a something resembling a bad crop in whatever their industry is, it's possible for them to survive that particular downturn by turning to his fellow man and pledging some of his property in return, meaning banks are completely useless and unnecessary?
Yeah.
I love it.
Thanks, Kev. Appreciate your call tonight, man.
There's one other term that I need to give you.
Go ahead.
That you guys really need to do some research on. Okay. I'm going to spell it. It's C-A-N-Q-U-E. It's called Kank. And it is an old, very old dynastic Han people, you know, the Chinese Sino-Han area of the world. It goes into money, and it is extremely apropos for what is happening right now. You ever wonder why there is a hole in the middle of Chinese money?
That was so they could put it on a string.
No. When you look up the term C-A-N-Q-U-E, be prepared. It's very graphic.
What are we going to find out? I mean, can you say it on the radio?
Find what
you mean?
Oh, yeah. It's not one of the seven deadly words. They used to cut people's heads off.
Yeah, at my first glance, I'm only finding it as a name. So can you give me a little help here?
And I found this in the 1914 Webster's New International Dictionary, with 1918 addenda, a book I have in one of my libraries, and it's about 2,400 pages. It was an encyclopedic, amazing work of art when a dictionary was something that was extremely valued because, you know, 1908, 1914, paper is very hard to make. And the term C-A-N-Q-U-E, I actually have it on my computer if my computer's up and running because I scan the pages in, so I could have it to refer to. What it is, when the debtor had the loan, okay, and they didn't finish paying it, what they did is they took a bunch of planks. Usually it was like 2 foot by 2 foot or a 3 foot by 3 foot square. They cut the planks so that they could fit in a framework, a square framework, around the debtor's neck. I'm not making this up. This is what they used to use from 1640 to 1911, just before the Boxer Rebellion in China, when they destroyed the empire, before the Republic of China, before Mao's time. Okay, and what they did with those pieces of wood is they put like an iron band around it so you couldn't take it off of your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it had to be so big is because you couldn't feed yourself because you hadn't paid your debt. And what they would do in the pictures that I have on my computer, I did the search
Okay, so just before you go on, Kev, apparently this is spelled C-A-N-G-U-E. So that's why it's so hard for us to find it.
It could be. My apologies.
No problem.
But you'll see the pictures, and what they would do is they would staple the loan in Chinese characters onto the wood.
Oh, so it's like scarlet lettering, except for debtors.
Could pay it. And that's exactly what they did to debtors for centuries.
Anybody who wanted to could pay the loan off and get their friend out of this thing, is what you're saying.
Or if the debt credit arrangement was worse, they became your slave. And this is the other term that you might find when you do the lookup on it. It's called Nexus, N-E-X-U-S.
Mm-hmm.
It is an ancient Roman tradition going back to the 12 tables, wherein, and it was very, very barbaric, but and this is where I think the Roman mafiosos got the concept of cutting off a person's pinky, because in that concept of debtor and creditor, in the old Roman script, it was addicti, A-D-D-I-C-T-E-E, was exactly the term they used for the debtor-creditor arrangement. If that debtor didn't pay their loan back, the creditor or creditors were, and this is actually in an old dictionary from 1850, Bouvier, B-O-U-V-I-E-R. If you look him up, you can find in like chest of books or a bunch of different websites back in the 2010s and 2012 when I was doing my research, I found his dictionary, and they describe this other thing that they did with debtors.
This is the Nexus thing you're talking about.
In the Roman tradition, which you guys were talking about earlier. So these are three different examples.
So what did they do? What was the Nexus exactly? What was it the thing?
The debtor, the addicti, became the Nexus between the creditor and any other creditors that he might have. You know, obviously, if you're in debt, you've got to go borrow money for work, whatever it might be. And you became the Nexus point and the primary debtor. In the Roman tradition of Nexus, this goes back to the 12 tables. You'd have to look it up under the Roman 12 tables. I think something B.C. to like 3 or 460 something A.D. And the primary creditor took possession of the debtor, because back then you could have a slave. It was a common thing. You know, whether it was a slave to the household or somebody who had gotten into debt, they became a slave, obviously, to the creditor.
Mm-hmm.
And we really.
And then the creditor could. The creditor could use that person as a payment, to anybody that he owed a debt to?
Well, the creditor was owed the debt by that debtor.
Yeah.
And if the debtor hadn't paid it, he was the Nexus. There's no longer any money involved.
Mm-hmm.
The Nexus changed from the money to the debtor themselves.
I see.
Wow.
After a certain time frame, basically?
Yes, and you'll have to look it up in the Bouvier.
So you pay this debt off, or you become my slave, basically, is what the deal was.
And the Nexus concept could be extrapolated that after a certain period of time, and going before, not the senators, but the procurator, I think, one of the Roman old court noble type, below the senators, but they were not the judge. They were like a page or like a pro tempore or something like that. Yeah. You could get a judgment against your debtor where if nobody paid the debt and it was significant enough, you were actually allowed to take the proportion of the capias and the debtor that your debt was reflected.
Kev, thanks for calling and sharing. Very interesting history there. I appreciate hearing from you.
I did find the Wikipedia page for Kang.
Yep.
And it just mentions, because it restricts a person's movements. This is a picture of the guy. Yeah. Because it restricts a person's movements, it was common for people wearing Kangs to starve to death, as they were unable to feed them.
Right. So it was just long enough to where your hands couldn't reach your mouth or whatever.
So you had to rely on others around you to feed you at all.
It says they weighed about up to 160 pounds.
Whoa.
So imagine carrying, you know, almost another 200-pound person along with you wherever you went.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty crazy. C-A-N-G-U-E. So if you want to comment, you can bring up anything you want. Ricky's on the line, calling from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Captain. Peakless Mountaineer, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, tonight I've been meaning to do this one. I will say, growing up in northeastern Pennsylvania, I was about an hour and a half from New York City, and I heard from little on up a lot about the Donald. That's being Donald J. Trump. Particularly, people that work for him doing building projects, and his famous thing is either A, I didn't like it, or B, it isn't good enough, or sue me. And then you go out through the years, so on and so forth, there's more of that. But that brings me to modern day, and that's these documents. And I have an interesting observation, but before I go into that, just a quick rehash of what led to the Mar-a-Lago raid. Now, starting from January 2021, he had to leave the White House. Now, in this case, it wasn't some accidental thing by staffers. He told the staffers what to pack. They knew. And he could have declassified them, but he didn't have an interest in that. And there's reason for that. So some bunch of time went on. Eventually, the National Archives said, hey, there's a bunch of this stuff missing. They contacted him. Give him back. He says, no. Okay, fine. They contacted again. He says, no. Eventually, it got harder and heavier. There were subpoenas. Finally, they got a court order, you know. And then you had the FBI come in. He was told. He was over in Bethminster. They came. Then there was a write-up. Said, okay, by the Bob woman, who was the lawyer, by Evan Cochran, his head lawyer. Then they got all the documents. Well, that turned out to be a lie. Well, they came back because they got more. And to this day, it went on and on and on. Now, the question is, why, first of all, why didn't he declassify them? Well, there's a reason for that. For the same reason he tried so hard to hold on to these. Now, I'm looking at not the crap stuff, but the stuff
classified
up
there. Yeah, that's twice you've told us. There's a reason. What is it, Ricky?
Here's the reason. It's coming. This is it right now. It goes from classified to top secret compartmentalized. Those are the touchy ones.
Ricky, now, get on with it.
Here's the point. He only gives a damn about one thing, money. Now, I have no love for
Donald.
He
loves attention.
What he wants over this, it's called extortion. And that's the scary part, because I don't care if you got the Secret Service protecting him. They would have got him. So I'm glad they put
Hold on. Let me see if I'm following you. You're saying you think Donald Trump didn't declassify the documents that he's now facing charges over because he wanted to use them to extort people
absolutely.
For money?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And far, because let's face it, top secret compartmentalized.
Who's he going to extort? I mean, like, you know, government bureaucrats?
Huh?
Who is he going to extort? Government bureaucrats?
Maybe even beyond that, because when you're dealing
with... He's got money, though. That's the thing. I think, Peekles, you pointed this out before. Trump isn't about money.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of money. He wants power. He wants attention.
Well, no, he's not even about power. And that's really the difference between him and you know, your run-of-the-mill politician. And that's why they hate him so much, is because he's not easy to manipulate. Mm-hmm. Now, you can manipulate someone, an ordinary politician, quite easily. You just have to threaten to take away their power. Mm-hmm. So, like, for any ordinary politician, something like, hey, we will impeach you, you won't be president anymore, that is so scary that they will keep in line because that is such a loss of power. Mm-hmm. With Trump, that doesn't work because power is not what he wants anyway. He wants fame.
So you don't buy Ricky's theory, then?
No, not even remotely. No, and that's the thing. He wants fame. He wants to be the most famous person on Earth for all time. That is his end game.
It will be the greatest, most famous person.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Ricky.
And that's why the manipulations on him don't work very well, because, mm-hmm. Well, we'll impeach you. You mean I'll be one of the only presidents ever impeached? Awesome!
So did he not declassify the documents just because he's an F-up?
I have no idea why he'd... last I had heard, like, these are the same documents, right? That they that they raided Mar-a-Lago for?
Yeah, supposedly, yes.
Yeah, last I heard, like, one of his last acts while he was still president was to say, I'm declassifying any of the documents that I happen to have on my person. So... And honestly, I think this is all ridiculous. Look, if we trusted this guy with these documents, why is he not allowed to have them now? Like, that makes absolutely no sense to me.
Oh, because he's not the president, is what they're saying.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Okay, so go get the documents back.
They did.
Okay. Problem solved.
They want to charge him with felonies over this.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to comment, you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. But what you guys predicted earlier in the program is that you don't think this is going to go anywhere. You think that these charges are going to either fail in front of a jury or some other thing is going to happen.
It will be a media production, the likes of which we have seen repeatedly.
Yeah, that's probably exactly what will happen, is it'll go all the way through the circus,
CNN,
to the jury.
And Fox, top stories, right? All the legacy news outlets are going to be running away with this thing all the time. Both sides are going to think that they're right, and it's going to just further divide people.
You mean a jury selected in Florida had at least one partisan conservative? Shocking! So, yeah, that's probably what this whole thing is going to do, but it's very distracting, and because that's tremendously important. They don't want you paying attention to the bank collapse. They don't want you paying attention to the potential of nuclear war. Like, these are the things they'd rather you not talk about. So let's talk about transsexuals and Donald Trump.
Yep, that sounds about right. And
it is absolutely perfect, because it casts him as a criminal in the minds of all of the people who hate him.
Who already thought he was a criminal.
Right. But it gives them extra fuel, extra, like, yeah, he did this. Like, there's a reason he went. There's a reason.
See, I told you so.
Yeah. He's a criminal. See, even the courts say he's a criminal. Yeah. It reinforces that line. Because that's the thing. When you don't have Donald Trump for them to hate, they're going to go home and smoke pot. They don't care about politics, unless it's Orange Man.
Right.
Orange Man gets them out to the polls. Orange Man gets them motivated, unified with each other, so that instead of squabbling over, well, my form of socialism is better than your form of socialism. No. They're all unified against Orange Man bad. And the people on the right, they get unified about, see, I told you, he's a rabble-rouser. He's a revolutionary. He's going to change everything.
Right.
The good people in the military are going to arrest Hillary Clinton any minute now.
Right. And as I like to call them, the pitchfork people and the torch people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, you know, they get unified in their division only. Right? Yeah. That's the only place these people become unified together, is in their hatred for the other side, whatever that is.
The phones,
they can't see what's wrong with that.
And to be fair, they're both rather worthy of hate.
Yes, indeed. A phone number here, if you want to join the show, it's 603-283-6160. You can bring up absolutely anything you want, your comments on any of the things we've discussed or things still to come, like the Wells Fargo cash withdrawal restriction. We can talk about that coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump says his latest indictment is actually driving his poll numbers up. Speaking on Saturday at a GOP convention in Columbus, Georgia, Trump said that it is a, quote, horrible thing for the country, and the only good thing about it was his poll numbers are, quote, way up. President Biden will hold his first re-election campaign event next weekend in the swing state of Pennsylvania. Biden has frequently highlighted his ties and support for labor unions, referring to himself as, quote, the most pro-union president in history. Arcangelo crosses the finish line first at the Belmont Stakes Saturday, and it's history for Jenna Antonucci, the first female trainer to win the Belmont. Transformers Rise of the Beasts opens with $25 million, and it's projected to soar to $60 million through the weekend. I'm Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCMteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCMteam.com. Enlist in GCMteam.com and save America.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live, and the phones are open for you. Should you wish to join us, you can comment on things we've been discussing, or you can bring up anything that's on your mind. The number is 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live is brought to you this hour by Dash. It's digital cash, a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending, and it is on a big sale. There's been a huge drop in
crypto's on sale.
Cryptocurrency prices, especially the so-called altcoins, within the last 24 hours or so, dropped like 10%. So I think Dash was down earlier today to like $29. For one Dash. Dash, by the way, is particularly useful because, well, it's designed to be used for spending, and so you can send a Dash transaction for well under 1 cent per transaction. Compare that to Bitcoin, where you might be spending $2 to send one transaction, which is ridiculous. And Dash has some really cool features that ensure that it's undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. It got, from a technical standpoint, it's nailed down. Their transactions are irreversible. The network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology, and there's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete. So it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies available, and it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at dash.org. You can, and by the way, big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit dash.org to learn about Dash. That is dash.org. We're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. Shauna is on the line listening to KXLY in Spokane, Washington. Go ahead, Shauna.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go right ahead.
Okay. So I just don't think that you guys are right when you say that Trump is after fame. I think you're right when you say he cannot be controlled and he's not a politician. And I think that's why they're afraid of him. Even into politics, purely because he saw what was wrong in the world and with our current system of things.
How do you know
Yeah,
this?
I'm sure that he is just an absolutely pure-hearted angel.
Why would you say he's not?
Well, wow.
Why? Well, because he's a mass murderer, for one.
Well, hold on. Why, Shauna?
Trump's a mass murderer?
Yeah, yes. Like every president ever, they're all mass murderers.
Like, do you even know about Yemen? Do you know about the genocide that he contributed to while president? I mean, remember, this is the guy.
Your every president has to do things that are not.
They don't have to.
Easy and make decisions.
He doesn't have to.
They don't have to.
No, he could just withdraw the troops from all over the place.
Yeah.
If he wanted to.
Oh, just like Biden did.
No, Biden did not withdraw troops from anywhere except Afghanistan.
None of them do, because this is how psychopathy works. This is how psychopathy works. You get some power, and you want more of it.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say that Biden isn't a monster. I'm saying Trump is also a monster.
Oh, no. I'm not. Okay, nobody is an angel. Let's be for real. And being president isn't something you step into. What's that?
Don't worry about it. Never mind.
What were you saying?
I said nobody steps into being president and not realizing the immense, obviously, power that you're going to have. I mean, that's a given with the position. I don't think he steps into that necessarily as the driving force behind it. Not at all. I totally disagree with that.
What makes you believe that? Like, how do you know what Trump's motivation or thoughts are?
He said what his motivation was. And there's numerous interviews. Do you remember the interview? Why do you say wow?
Because you believe someone who wants you to believe.
Wow.
So, okay, I don't trust anyone who is trying to get my vote just because they say a thing that it is true.
I mean, the fact is, you look at politicians, they lie all the time to get elected. So why would you believe this guy?
But he's not a politician.
Yes, he is. By definition, he's a politician.
No, he's not.
By definition, if you run for office, you are a politician.
Because he's not.
Madam, if you run for office, you are by definition a politician. Now, if you want to say it was his first time, or, you know, you want to say he's never been elected to anything before.
He is not your run-of-the-mill, been in the Senate.
Yeah, he
been
is
a
different.
Governor, done
he's,
all those
instead of being a power addict,
way.
He's a fame addict.
Yeah. All the same things that you're saying, Shauna, were said about another president, Ronald Reagan, who was an actor before he was a
governor.
Was not a politician.
Wasn't he the California
governor?
Say
the same thing about him? Do you think he was after fame?
Yes, he's an actor. What do you think actors are after?
Well, he may have been after power as well.
It's like making movies is what's fame. Like, I don't, being a president,
did Trump not do television? Did Trump not do television before presidency? Right? Yeah, is that not acting?
Why didn't you just continue doing that then?
Because he wanted more.
He has spent more time on television than anybody. Full stop. The man has spent more time on television than anybody. Seriously, look at how much every single news station, every single day, all they would ever talk about for like a year was Trump.
They kept talking about it after he was out of office as well.
So let me ask you this. You say he's a murderer and he's all of these evil, all of these things. And let's just go with that. Then who would you pick? Who would be? You have to vote. You have to vote for somebody.
So I don't vote. I don't have to vote for anybody. You know why? I don't need a leader. I'm perfectly capable of leading myself. Where the hell is everybody going that we need all these leaders for anyway? I'm perfectly capable of representing myself, and I am the captain of myself. Yes. I don't need a politician. I don't need to follow a politician when I can do me by myself.
Unfortunately, though, I agree. I 100% like that idea.
Okay.
We have moral compasses. We know right from wrong. We're probably not going to run out and murder thousands of people or millions of people because we're good, decent humans. right?
Well, I'm not sure that people... hold on, Shauna. I think generally what you're saying is true. Like, on a day-to-day living basis, most people do know right from wrong. They are not going to use violence against their neighbor because they can understand they wouldn't want their neighbor using violence against them. However, people seem to have a disconnect when it comes to the political process and the thing that we call government. They don't seem to understand that they are ignoring the wrong that this organization known as the state, whether it's the state of Washington or the United States federal government, is constantly committing. And they ignore that these men and women that are seeking these political powerful offices are using violence against them and their neighbors on a regular basis. And they just seem to forgive all of that. They believe that the next guy that's waving their in front of them saying, elect me, is going to somehow be different than everyone who's come before. And it never is true.
But you know what? Here's the biggest problem with any of I agree with what you say for the most part. Like, I truly do. I think our biggest problem is the World Economic Forum.
Well, they are a problem.
And
I mean, Klaus
Schwab. That is where if you want to talk about people getting killed and who's behind lots of the shenanigans there, he's the one to look at.
Sure, the UN, the World Economic Forum, the IMF, these are terrible organizations that are advocating for greater state involvement in people's lives, more government, more control, more money. But if you agree with what I said earlier, then I presume you would agree that the United States as an organization should not exist. It's run its course. It should be completely abolished. People should secede as quickly as possible. The state of Washington, New Hampshire, wherever it is that people are listening, should secede from the United States, and we should just call it a day and say this has failed. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I don't know. I mean, how do you in a perfect world, and that could happen and everything would be okay. I don't think that's a tough one. Like, I like the idea behind that. I totally think I see where you're going. And
so it could happen.
I just don't know how. Because
it has happened before. I mean, there's a long history of secession.
The Constitution, I know there's a portion in there, and I'm going to mess it up. But it talks about, like, basically reforming government, like, and restructuring it.
The ability to reform or abolish.
Yes. So, I mean,
that's not the Constitution.
It happens. I mean,
Declaration.
That's the Declaration of Independence.
Sorry, my bad.
Well, and that's the thing. Look, if the Declaration of Independence is considered valid, then let's just end this. Like, we don't have to go through a process. We can just stop. If we just stop acknowledging this as a legitimate source of authority on the basis of the fact that it continues to murder people for no good reason, for example, then we can just end it. It could be over like that.
Right.
Just
then
done.
Do
like, we don't have to.
Okay, then,
we don't have to wait on our senators to tell us that it's okay to be free.
Right. Yeah. No, I am full on board with all of that. 100%.
All right. Good.
People are looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm sitting in a Target parking lot.
Just pronounce it Target. You'll be okay. Well, good. I'm glad that we've agreed on so much here tonight, Shauna. Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate hearing from you.
Call us again.
Yeah, absolutely. The number here is 603-283-6160. It's interesting, you know, bringing up independence as a solution to these problems out there. And, of course, the problems are the people are divided as ever. They're not going to come together on anything ever again. Like, this whole experiment is an abject failure at this point. If it did work for a time, great. It ain't working now, and it hasn't worked for generations.
And they can't come together because the stakes are way too high. The government has so much power that if the other guy gets to force you to live the way that they want you to live, then you will never be able to retain your life.
Well, and that's the thing that people have to let go of, is the desire to try to force the other side back into whatever compliance with, you know, whatever
that's
arbitrary
exactly
things.
It.
So you have to be able to let that go and say, you know what, you guys can do you. You guys in California, you hard left socialists or whatever, you go ahead, have your socialist paradise. You guys down in Texas, you can go ahead and have your right-wing theocracy or whatever it is you're trying to build there. You guys over in New Hampshire, you guys can have your libertarian homeland, and we'll just all do our own thing separately and see what works.
Yeah.
You just have to let it go. Let them do their thing.
And Shauna, the caller, had asked, well, then what's next? Well, what's next, of course, is...
That's the question.
A period of prosperity and innovation in humankind, the likes of which we've only seen a few times in history.
Unless you're in California and it goes total commie.
Okay, but I'm just...
Well, no, even... And
mankind,
so that's the thing,
in general, right?
If they try out their communist plans, yeah, and they fall flat on their face, as I believe they will, yeah, then at that point they will be forced to do something else, which will mean, I mean, they'll be late to the party, but they will also experience a period of innovation and growth,
perhaps,
the likes of which humankind has never even dreamt.
And we have the best evidence to say that that is what would happen.
Yeah.
And the best evidence is, of course, the history of the United States itself.
Right.
Before the government ruined currency, before the federal government decided it was going to be the ruler of everybody instead of the other way around, where everybody was the ruler of it. Right. What happened? The United States experienced a period of growth, innovation, and invention, the likes of which humankind had never seen before.
Arguably, we're still coasting on that.
Oh, well, absolutely.
I
would say that planet Earth is coasting on that innovation, on what happened during that period of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that changed things so dramatically that we are still attempting to adapt to, for example, the general absence of starving to death due to an absence of calories.
Yeah.
Like, we on Earth haven't fully adapted to that change yet. And that's awesome. And we need to do that again. This time with the internet.
We continue here. Caller unscreened, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
I'm Carl.
Carl, you're on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
I reckon I was here on this Twitch app here, and I stumbled upon your thing. I like that young Neil deGrasse Tyson boy. And,
huh?
And you Steve from Blue's Clues over yonder.
Okay, you might be watching a different show than what you're calling in about, but what were you calling about tonight?
I was calling in about, you know, politics and football.
Uh-huh. What about it?
Well, you got that Archman, and he's going over yonder to, where is he going? I believe it's Texas.
Who? Archman?
Yeah, Arch Manning.
Captain, you pay attention to the football scene.
I think he's
talking about
Archie Manning, who's, I mean, an ancient relic in the football world. So
I thought he said Orange Man.
Orange Man.
Oh, Orange Man. No, Archie Manning is Peyton Manning and Eli Manning's father. They were both quarterbacks recently in the NFL.
So we're talking about like decade
30
or so.
Years ago?
No, I believe you're wrong there. That's her brother. And he had a son. And there's a new Manning coming up in college football this year. We'll see how he does.
He's like a junior.
He's a junior. Yeah. Okay.
There you go. Okay. He put you in your place there, Captain.
You know, football stats. When you're
your trivia.
When you're working hard to freedom all the time, you lose track of your sports ball.
All right, man. What's going on down there in Florida? I see you're calling from Florida. Any interesting Florida news for us?
Nah, I reckon there's a lot of meth and people doing weird stuff and whatnot.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for the call tonight.
Don't get them any prospectors that love Twitch.
Yeah, no, it was a good accent. It was a good accent. He just didn't have much depth.
He
didn't have a good plan for the call. Like we've had some really good character callers over the years, and the best ones are the ones who can improvise real good. I mean, it's hard to do that.
It is. Yeah.
The second best ones are the ones that have a plan when they call up. They got some points that they want to make. They got something for the character to say rather than just kind of, I like football. You got to put a little more into it than that. But I like the voice. The voice is
I think that's what he was trying out.
He was
seeing if that worked. And, hey, I was expecting you to bust out an authentic frontier gibberish at any moment.
and you know, if I were like a working stand-up comedian, I might do something like call into radio shows to try out my characters.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's continue here. We've got a real prospector. Major Payne is on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
It's losing Tijuana. Eating barbecue Tijuana. I got some
Mexican radio?
Yeah.
They put out a statewide, I don't know if they want to call it a warning or a notice or whatever, but there's snakes and iguanas and what are them other damn geckos popping up in people's toilets all over Florida.
That happens.
I was wondering if you've been down there raising hell again, Ian, since your last hurricane.
it just happens.
Do you only get one hurricane named after you?
I think they have a schedule. They rotate the names.
Oh, really? So yeah. You'll have another one at some point.
Good chance of it, yeah, at some point. It just probably won't be a big one.
I have to know, is there also a hurricane, Mark?
I bet you there has been, yeah. I mean, go through the names. All right, what else, Major?
Well, just on the Trump thing, the day they announced that they were filing all these charges, before they even released, 37 and what they were and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
Two of his lawyers reclined or declined. They abolished themselves from the case. So the powers that be are obviously turning up the heat in the boiling pot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how anybody can't see. They started persecuting Trump when he walked down the staircase in New York, just announcing his presidency. They've been on him like a duck on a June bug ever since, trying to make any damn thing and anything stick. Just throw a turd against the wall, see if it works.
I'm sorry, Major, a duck on a June bug?
It's a real phrase.
That is some great English.
If you've ever seen a real farm, ducks are the best pesticide you can get.
Oh, yeah.
You take a flock of ducks and run them through your garden, they'll clean out the ladybugs and the potato bugs and, yeah. Hell, the best alarm you can have on a farm is a good dog, but more importantly, a goose. Though they have no ears, they can hear every damn thing.
Thanks for the call, Major. I appreciate hearing from you, man. Let's go to the real McCoy. You're on Free Talk Live, calling from somewhere out there. Go ahead.
Colorado.
Welcome, sir.
How do we know he's really the real McCoy, not just somebody calling and saying he's the real McCoy? Is there a McCoy verification system we can deploy?
Maybe on the blockchain.
All right, there you go.
There we go.
It's the real McCoy. You're verified.
All right, go ahead.
So, just real quick, this wasn't going to be an in-depth call too much. So throughout the week, callers have been questioning what defines the non-aggression principle and what does and doesn't constitute aggression.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
I have three questions. I have them listed out. They're mostly rhetorical. If you want to answer just one, that's fine. But the first one is, why does the statement non-aggression principle cause so much confusion with people? Two, why does Arya argue, and I know this is a gross generalization of her argument, but why can't definitions in the dictionary be used when arguing for or against positions an individual holds, if that makes sense? Three, is it not best to consult a dictionary so the parties involved that are arguing have a standard of cohesion when it comes to meaning and understanding of one another?
To take the third question last, having not heard the discussion to which you're referring to between Arya and the other co-hosts on, I think, Wednesday night on that show, that I would say, yeah, I mean, you have to be able to agree on a definition of a word before you can have any kind of meaningful discussion about it. Mm-hmm. If you can't come to an agreement on that, then you might as well not bother trying to go any further. And whether you want to use a dictionary for that or come up with your own house definition.
Right. I was just going to say, within that, it's between the two parties who are trying to have the communication.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who need to agree on the definition. So is a dictionary a good tool? I believe it is. I use it all the time. When I don't know
where... the same definition.
They don't, no. But when I learn of a new word, I will go look it up. I will look at several different dictionary entries just to make sure I've explored all the different possible definitions, or at least the ones that are at my fingertips on the magic rectangle.
Yeah.
But it is important. But it's not important for the dictionary to be like the be-all, end-all reference of the definition.
It's a tool, not an authority. So, for example, Merriam-Webster altered the definition of the word literally to include as if literally, which to my mind completely negates the whole value of the word. Like, if literally does not mean literally, then it means nothing at all. We don't have any other word that means that. It's the only word, and no matter how many times people misuse the word literally, it still means what it means.
Didn't they also change a bunch of words during COVID as well?
Oh, yeah.
In Merriam-Webster.
Oh, yeah.
And they keep doing it over time as well. Governments will do it.
So this is some straight-up 1984 nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 1984, they also touched on it in The Giver, but this idea of having a grand unified dictionary of the authority says this is what these words mean, and they can pare it down and pare it down so that certain ideas become no longer possible to discuss.
You can't express them.
Yeah, and that's very true. And so, like, to touch on his first question of, like, what's so hard about non-aggression principle? Well, because people are not used to thinking that thought.
No, it's true.
It is a foreign thought.
Even as I'm a relative newcomer to the idea, at least here in the studio, I think I get it. But when you begin to think about your actions and your daily life and how you live it and where is aggression? Right. When you begin to think about it, you don't see it all right away. It takes a while, you know, for you to be thinking in the mindset of where is the aggression? How do I not commit aggression in these situations? Because I guarantee you, if you're not thinking about this already, you are committing aggression in some instances in your life. Right. And even to that extent, I'm human, so I'm fallible and I'm going to probably commit some aggression at some point in my life. Right. Maybe even unbeknownst to me. But it is difficult and it is a road to travel to get to a point where you can live the non-aggression principle. It is a journey, not a destination.
Yeah, and I would personally love to take a crack at the question that usually comes up by that one caller about, well, you can't raise children without violating the non-aggression principle. I'd love to take a crack at that one.
OK, we can talk about it. Real McCoy, if you have more to say, hang on. We'll continue. Give you a response here in hour number three, which is on the way. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join the show and you can also bring up anything that you want to discuss with us here on the live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live. We have more coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.